second, India have won the Test match. India have won the series. They're going to get back for two.
Hello and welcome to a new episode of the 81 All Out podcast. This is your host, Siddhartha Vaidyanathan, and I'm joined today by the regular crew, Mahesh, Ashoka, and Karthikeya. We're here to talk primarily about India's first match of the World Cup, which happened against Australia, eventually a comfortable victory for India, and fine start to their World Cup campaign, where they are undoubtedly the favorites to win the trophy, partly because they are the home team and obviously more familiar with their conditions than any other team, but also because of how strong they are. Perhaps, one of the best one-day teams, over time, and definitely the best one Indian one-day team that has played, at least in my memory. I must mention here to the older viewers that who would have watched India in the mid-80s, that you would maybe disagree with me when India won the World Cup and the World Championship of Cricket, and they won a couple of other trophies at that time. But yeah, I'm saying since I've been watching in the 90s, this is definitely the best Indian team. So let's get started. We can start with the game itself in Chennai. Nearly a packed house, nearly, I must say, because there were some people mentioning how even in Chennai, even with India playing, even against India, when it is India-Australia, there are still some empty seats doing the rounds. So yeah, knowledgeable fans have obviously let us down as usual. But in all fairness, it was a great atmosphere. It was a good match to watch. It was went back and forth for a while. I mean, Australia started well and then had a pretty good partnership there between Warner and Labuschagne, then fell apart to India's spin trio. India started quite miserably, losing 3 wickets for 2 runs, but then there was this fine partnership between KL Rahul and Kohli, put them back on track and put them on course to victory. And very good batting, I must say. And the pitch, wasn't as bad as it was thought to be. If you saw the scorecard, you might think that the pitch was doing all sorts of things, but I think some good application was required to navigate through that, and India did that. Anyway, we'll also speak a bit about general early impressions of the World Cup. Of course, there's been quite a bit going on. New Zealand's victory against England, and then South Africa piling on 400+. Bangladesh doing well against Afghanistan, and Bangladesh looking good, especially in conditions that favor spin. And we've also had a few other teams show Pakistan beating Netherlands and so forth. Yeah, Mahesh, maybe you can start the game and anything in general if you want to mention.
No, before Mahesh, we have to say one thing and then we'll give it to Mahesh. Justice for Ashwin.
If Ashwin had hit the winning run, then that would have been the ultimate justice for Ashwin. But yeah, he couldn't get a chance to bat.
But nature is healing, man. Nature has started healing after a long string of injustices. Finally, the man is back and he came back.
You wait when there is a next game, when he will be dropped, then you will come back. Injustice. Ashwin dropped. They have done this again and all, you will come and say, wait. So let's give this some time to play out.
We should celebrate while we can, and that too in Chennai. Why not? Talking of the crowd, well, let's just first address that. I think in the first half of the game, it was quite empty actually. So many stands were empty. And it's quite amazing that you could not fill the stadium in Chennai of all places. And that too, India, Australia, you know, even if Indian fans didn't turn up, Chennai has this army of Aussie fans who expected to fill the seats. So, knowledgeable Aussie fans who are Indians, right? Spiritual Aussies. Yeah. So it was quite shocking. And again, it kind of goes on to show how shabbily this whole ticketing fiasco has played out. While that was happening, they released some tickets for the India-Pakistan game, right? I mean, how are you expected to plan for it?
Wait. You are going too far ahead. They released tickets for India-Australia game during the India-Australia game.
Oh, sorry. I wasn't aware of this. Goodness. I mean, somebody did mention that. I wasn't sure.
Yeah,
they're
mentioning
it wrongly. Like, I thought they were referring to India-Pakistan game.
They released that as well, but they released India-Australia game during the India-Australia game. So this is just-in-time philosophy.
Oh, just-in-time. Oh, they misunderstood what is efficiency. They're like, okay, yeah. In Japan, just-in-time is efficiency. So let's release just-in-time.
No. See, this is Chennai after all, okay? This is the Dhoni model of ticketing. Basically, till the last minute, you have to wait. And then
take it deep.
And then you can take it deep.
Chennai is also the land of Hyundai assembly line, so...
worst behavior.
Yeah. No, anyways. I mean, this ticketing thing is going to be like a complete, there's going to be a theme through this World Cup. I won't be surprised if we see empty seats in a World Cup final. I mean, this is the level to which these fellows have messed up this whole thing. Anyway.
You know, just in Singapore alone, the number of people that I know who've been looking for a ticket who couldn't get it could have filled the Chennai stadium. You know, imagine the rest of the world. It's unbelievable how you could not fill the stadium for that. Anyway, but I was so happy to see a beautiful camera panning all over Marina Beach and showing all the beautiful parts of Chennai. It made me feel very nostalgic. So I miss being there, but I was quite pleased to watch it on TV. In terms of the match itself, I think it was a match that played out to India's strengths. I'm not sure if we can read too much into it. Like going into the World Cup, you guys did a preview in my absence, and I thought, okay, it hit all the right notes. And if India had certain weaknesses, it was a match in which none of that got exposed. And of course they had immense bowling depth to make good of the conditions that were favorable to them. And once you have a score of 200, even with 3 wickets down, I think this Indian batting lineup was going to chase it down. And they still had depth, right? Even with KL Rahul and Kohli getting a bit of a fortune on a couple of occasions playing through. Even if one of them got out, they still had enough depth to come through it. And it doesn't help that Australia doesn't have enough spin bowling depth. I mean, like, of course, between Mitchell Stark and Hazelwood, they caused enough trouble with the new ball under the lights. But it is never going to be enough.
Yeah, I think one of the things is, I mean, first of all, the weakness that we spoke about was the tail. Like, you know, we after number 8, Akshar being absent at 8 is a sort of a bit of a blow, and 9, 10, 11 of course is anybody's game. Who knows what they are going to do at the day, but that is the main weakness that we spoke about. Is there anything else in your mind that
also power hitting, right? India doesn't have like real power hitting at the top, right? There is a tendency for the top order to kind of consolidate and play for long because the tail is weak. They have to make up for it, and like on a pitch like this, that's not going to get exposed. On a pitch where, you know, the pass score is 400, that's when this weakness will get exposed. So it's still too early to say. But again, like one of the reasons why I really like World Cups in India is that you get this sort of extreme range of scores and range of pitches that you witness. You know, in some cases you get 400, in some cases you get 200, and both are sort of thrilling contests.
See the pitch with a par score of 400?
Par score of 400. I heard that.
It's a flat pitch. Come on. You can, like, if it's a flat wicket, you can score 400 these days, man.
Yeah. I mean, if you score 400, it's almost certain that you've won the match, man. You can't expect another team to chase 400 that easily. You know?
That's anyway. Fine, but that doesn't mean like 400 is beyond the realm of possibilities when you're starting to bat in a very flat, like small ground, you know.
Yeah, sure.
No, just say Chinnaswamy, man. Just say Chinnaswamy.
Yeah,
exactly.
The one thing that you mentioned is that, you know, so far in the World Cup, at least what we have seen, we've seen quite a good range of pitches, I think. I mean, it's been, you know, there's been South Africa against Sri Lanka that has, you know, been a high-scoring game. And you've also seen games like Bangladesh, Afghanistan, and other games which where you've needed the depth of spin to really come through. And given the range of conditions you see, I think India have like a far, by far the biggest advantage, man. I mean, look at, they have all bases covered there. I mean, if you give them a seaming pitch, they have three world-class seamers. You give them a spinning pitch, they have three world-class spinners. And then the batting, of course, goes till 8, which, I mean, even if you don't have power hitting, I think in a one-day game, compared to a T20 game, I think you can still, it's still okay. Anyway, Ashoka.
I don't know if, you know, batting first was anyways a good idea. And secondly, you know, they knew that India were going to come with three spinners. They tried their best, you know, to tackle these guys, but ultimately, you know, the quality was too good. So, I don't know. I never felt this bad about, you know, an Australian team. It looked like once you were like 100 for 2 or 3, this looked like an Australian innings that went nowhere. And even at, let's say, 11 for 3, when India were batting, it didn't look like the match was gone. Now, like everybody was panicking or whatnot. At least I was not panicking, and it didn't look like this Australian team had enough control to, you know, put the squeeze on the scoring rate. So I don't know what else Australia could have done, really. They were outplayed, and this is not a surface that, you know, that actually gives them any hope. If they are going to play in 2 more matches in Lucknow, and we don't know how that is going to go.
So it's been a low scoring ground in the IPL, right?
Yeah. So, we don't know how that is going to go, even if it's relayed or worked upon or whatnot. So Australia have to think what they have to do now. do they make a call with Travis Head, say that, okay, fine, if you're not ready, go home, and then bring in Nathan Lyon, or what they're going to do? Because they need bowlers. I mean, their batting went for 199. That's fine. If you're up against Ashwin, Kuldeep and Jadeja on this pitch, this kind of pitch, that's fine. But what they really need is that they need bowlers who can give them control. And for sure, they think that Glenn Maxwell is one of their frontline bowlers. I don't think that will be the case. I don't think he can consistently give them control. I mean, that's a huge gamble they're taking. Even on, let's say, even in Lucknow, if they face a spin-friendly pitch, they're not going to get consistent threats like Ashwin, Jadeja and Kuldeep bowling 30 overs. They will get an opening, and their batting will, they have enough quality in their bank to, you know, make some runs, like at least 250. But to defend 250, you need 2 good spinners on that pitch. And Zampa alone is not going to run across teams, because primarily on a spin pitch, you need a bowler with like extreme control, someone who has played tests, and that Zampa has not done. Zampa is very, very good at, you know, restricting the flow of runs and then creating enough pressure to get a wicket. I have not seen...
Yesterday, Lyon and Murphy would have been a good combination on that pitch. The test spin combination. So, in fact, for some reason, I was reminded, I mean, maybe it's the rhythm of what was going on, or the India spin against them. I was reminded of the first day of the Nagpur test, the first day of the test series that they played, when they got all out for 170 something and Jadeja took 5. And this is pretty much what happened, right? Like Smith and Labuschagne put on a partnership that day in the test. And then Jadeja basically got them and Ashwin. And in this one, Warner and Labuschagne, and then they collapsed. So and the ball that Smith got also, I mean, it was a very, very test dismissal rather than something that you would see regularly in a one-day game.
Yeah. So it's not like it's very tempting to say that Australia collapsed, you know, under the spin threat. It's not that. They actually played the percentages. In fact, the problem is these 3 guys are not giving them anything. There is no opening. You have to take risks. You have to either, you know, rush down and hit these guys over, or you have to use sweep. These guys are, I mean, a little too quick to do both. And therein lies the problem. You're actually giving away 30 overs. And there is no respite coming. No, it's a good thing that Hardik Pandya got injured a little bit. He didn't bowl much, which meant that Siraj and Bumrah had to bowl the other bulk of 20 overs. And they too were not giving anything away. So there was no opening for Australia to, you know, score those 50 extra runs, which they felt that they were light on. So, you know, India finished them in bowling, and in response, Australia didn't have the quality. They don't have control in the middle overs. Between overs 15 to 40, relying on Zampa and Maxwell is not a good idea. I said this in the preview. I'm saying it now. It's not a good idea to, you know, entrust 25 overs with these 2 guys to get them wickets as well and then, you know, slow down runs. It's a little bit too much for them.
I think the difference between like a Zampa and say, you know, maybe a Murphy, I'm not even bringing Lyon in here because Lyon is like a different class of a bowler. But is that Zampa, like when you're defending a high total and trying to hit Zampa, that's probably difficult because he's that kind of bowler. But Murphy, on the other hand, can actually enforce, like he can actually, you know, go for wickets. So because he's like in the test, as he's a test bowler. So maybe, I think having a bowler like that might benefit. Also, they're playing South Africa and Sri Lanka and Lucknow, which should worry them a bit because South Africa may probably play Maharaj and Shamsi there. And Sri Lanka should have enough to give them a run for their money with their spin if the wicket turns out similarly. Kartikeya, thoughts? Pat Cummins was absent. Let's start with that. Pat Cummins was absent. And didn't turn up. Okay, start.
But he was there.
Okay.
No, but the Cummins thing is an interesting point. You know, I actually think that if they get Lyon, then there's a case for dropping Cummins and playing Lyon instead. And playing a 3+3 instead of like the 4+2, which they are currently forced to play because they have Green and 3 fast bowlers. And then they have another problem with the 3 fast bowlers, which is that all 3 of their fast bowlers, like Cummins, Hazelwood and Stark, are new ball bowlers. And Cummins basically feels like, you know, Hazelwood and Stark need the new ball more than he does. But Cummins
is, as Gideon Hay mentioned, he's the greatest first change. He's the greatest first change bowler of all time.
Yeah, but in the one day game, I don't know that he knows. Like, he's worked out how to get wickets unless he can keep slips in, you know. And with the first change, with when you're bowling after the 11th over, there's always going to be a temptation to, you know, push the field back. And when it's a 300 game, he's in the game because, you know, he's not easy to hit. But with a small chase where, you know, the opposition bowling has, you know, enough to bowl 50 very, very good overs. As Ashok has said, Australia just didn't have enough bowling to produce 50 good overs. Against most teams in most eras, that would not be a handicap. But against this Indian team in these conditions, in this era, that's a problem because they have nowhere to hide, you know. And I mean, I someone was saying that, you know, how can you drop Cummins? He's the captain and this and that. So then find some other captain. No, what's the big deal? They have Steve Smith, no?
They have enough captaincy options there. Yeah.
Yeah. So somebody will do it. But it's like, as it is, what you have to do the toss and do some bowling changes, which are already decided anyway. So what?
And anyway, the Australian way is to pick the best 11 and then pick the captain, right? Yeah. It's not the English way where you pick the captain first. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Hazelwood, I don't know. I think Hazelwood is a unique bowler. You know, he's like, when he's bowling well, he makes the pitch look small. You know, it's just like he's bowling on a children's pitch or something like that. He's like that. He's like huge and he gets that lift off the pitch. You know, I don't think there was much in the wicket for the fast bowlers yesterday, but, you know, Jasprit Bumrah and Mohammad Siraj were very, very good. And the Australians were good as well. I mean, this is what we said in the preview, right? There are a lot of teams which have very good new ball bowling and are good take wickets with the new ball. But the difference will come in the middle overs, and it did come in the middle overs. I mean, I think this was basically like a 260 pitch, back in the day before the power play rule, like in 2004-2005, this would have been like a 225 pitch, 220-225 pitch. And, you know, in the power play era, it's like a 250-260 pitch. And India kept them down to like 199, which is about right. I mean, that's how good the Indian attack is. You know, there's basically no weak bowler, you know. And you saw like the difference in class between like Pandya and the other bowlers. you know, Pandya's accuracy is measured in feet. No, he's sort of, and someone like Steve Smith is going to kill you if your accuracy is measured in feet. You know, but you know, with Ashwin and all, the accuracy is measured in inches, and you know, the it's much harder to sort of make room and take liberties. I mean, like that's what makes them good. No, I mean, that it's like, yeah, of course, the batter is going to take a chance. The batter wants to score a boundary. The batter knows where you're leaving the boundary undefended. But, and everybody knows where you have to bowl to make it very hard for the batter to hit the ball to that undefended boundary. But you have to be able to do it, no? Ball after ball after ball after ball. And you have to not just be able to do it, you have to also be able to do your own thing, no? You have to want to attack, you want to make the batter do some things that you want him to do. That's really hard, and these guys can do it. You know, I don't know that all the pitches will be like this. I mean, I suspect that if there's a flatter road like pitch, India will probably play Shardul Thakur instead of Ashwin, and you guys will all get very, very upset. But
of course, we're not like you. Look at you. You're asking for Pat Cummins to be dropped.
Hey, wait a minute. Don't clump me with all these other upset people. I will be upset. But because you made me choose between Shardul and Ashwin, I want both of them to play.
No. Coming to Cummins, first of all, why don't we consider the possibility that India for Cummins is possibly like what Australia was for Waqar, or what different conditions are for different great bowlers. Maybe he's not good enough here in these conditions.
And Alan Donald had a similar problem.
In India?
No. When Monday cricket.
Okay. I mean, he did well.
He also didn't figure it out. They wanted him to take the new ball. He couldn't control the white ball because for some reason he thought that the white ball moved a lot more than the red ball. So they moved him to first change. Bob Woolmer said, okay, you bowl first change. And then first change, he was not as effective because the ball is older. And that time it was worse, no, because there was only one ball.
Yeah.
So we were bowling in the 14th, 15th over was like bowling in the 30th over now. You know, so.
Yeah. Which is the reverse problem they felt yesterday, right? I mean, talk about reverse problem. Because there was a brief moment where it looked like the ball may reverse. But then you have two new balls and then it's going to take that much more time for them to get reversing, right? And Stark and Hazelwood couldn't really do much with the slightly older ball also, because it's technically not old. It's barely 20.
I think the bowlers come out ahead in the new ball bowlers come out ahead in this bargain with two new balls. Because they get the new ball to move a lot more in their first spell, a lot longer in their first spell. You know, like it moves until the 9th, 10th, 11th over. Whereas previously, if you remember, it used to move for like the first two or three overs and then that's it. Then when the swing died, then it's a road. So
yeah,
I think they come out ahead. But I mean, the other thing is also that, you know, that four fielders rule also hurts them because who do India go to if they would need a wicket, you know? And there are two or three bowlers they can go to. They can go to Bumrah, they can go to Kuldeep, they can, you know, even go to Jadeja in a pinch, right? Although I don't think Jadeja is really a wicket taking option, even though he got wickets yesterday. They can go to Siraj if they want a wicket. Who do Australia go to if they want to get him? Mitchell Stark. And then on his day, Joss Hazlewood. No, but, you know, unless it's a raging turner, Zampa is not going to like be there, and they have runs to play with. That's a good point that someone made before. Unless they have runs to play with, Zampa is a problem.
Yeah, because he's not a test bowler.
Exactly. I mean, India's 11 yesterday had a gazillion test wickets between them. There's a lot of experience of getting people out. You know, so. And it's okay, even if Ashwin has not played one day cricket for years, he's played like two matches for like in the last several half a dozen years or something like that. I thought or whatever. I could be wrong about that, but he's not played a lot. It doesn't matter, no, because he's been playing IPL. He's been playing, and in the IPL, I think he's basically a regular. It's not like he plays like 3 or 4 matches every season. He plays like 12, 13 at least, right? So it's not like he's not he's got no white ball experience. I mean, and Nathan Lyon actually plays more white ball cricket for Australia than Ashwin plays for India. So I think they should bring him. I don't know how they'll be able to bring him because, you know, they have to send somebody back because it's the 15-player rule and they already got Labuschagne for
Agar. Ashton Agar. Yeah.
So that they already made that switch. So I don't know.
Yeah, they're probably in a bit of a spot here because they played one in Chennai, they've lost. Now they're going to play two in Lucknow. Even if they lose one of the two, they, you know, because you have to win 5 to 6 to get in. So yeah, they could have some condition based problem here because their spin depth is almost absent. After Zampa, you then go to Maxwell. I mean, Maxwell, come on, man. I mean, he's probably good enough for 5-6 overs, but you can't expect him to bowl 10 overs every match, and which is probably they need from their second spinner.
In the 2019 World Cup, though, spin was basically an afterthought. I looked at this. There's like 32% of the overs in the 2019 World Cup were bowled by spin. In the World Cup here, it's about 45% right now. So it's the difference between teams being able to cobble together 15, 16 overs of spin versus teams being able to cobble together 22, 23 overs of spin. You know, that means in India, you need two spinners. And really, very few teams are equipped to come with two spinners, you know. And that's okay. I mean, I don't, there's a lot of talk, like, especially from these English people, like, you know, Simon Hughes and all this, you know, TV analysts about how this Chennai pitch was a rubbish pitch. It was not a rubbish pitch. It was a perfectly good pitch.
Dude, you know, for Simon Hughes, every pitch in India is a rubbish pitch, man. I mean, that he's like on a different level altogether.
Yeah. He has one idea, which is that, you know, if you see any dust, it's a bad pitch. This is an awful thing. No? I mean, look at the weather here, man. I mean, it was so hot, they were having drinks breaks every 45 minutes here. I mean, it's not going to be like green and pleasant, as they call it in England. No, I mean, it's just dry out.
The first 25 overs should favor seam. The next 50 overs should favor batting. The next last 25 overs should favor spin. And all. They will come up with such situations for one day pitches also. Now,
no, we can be charitable and say it is born out of ignorance, but I would like to call it prejudice. But anyway, so but the larger point is this, man. So as KD was saying, if teams need 22 overs of spin, I really think outside of Bangladesh and India, you know, and we have to also qualify what kind of spin is required if you are going to bowl 22 overs of it or 20 overs of it. It can't be people who bowl spin for 4 overs in T20s. You know, it has to be someone with at least a good, decent, long ODI experience or some test bowler. So, as KD was saying, this is very hard for teams to produce. No, you can't, especially in conditions which in countries where spin is not a priority, they are not going to bring along 2-3 high caliber spinners. So, what I was thinking was like, from what I've seen so far, at least for the first 6 or 7 matches, if you have a test spinner, and if you have him in your 15, you're probably kind of, you know, locking in good for first 10. I mean, at least the 10 of those 20 overs. So Bangladesh have 20 good overs of test spin. India have it. And no other country that I can think of has it. Or I mean, Pakistan doesn't have it. Sri Lanka doesn't have it. No one else has it. So
yeah, and South Africa, Shamsi doesn't play tests. I mean, he's more a T20 bowler than a test bowler. Yeah.
So his one day pedigree itself is slightly, you know, is questionable. So that's the problem. So if outside of Wankhede, let's say outside of Chinnaswamy, And even in those venues, you know, I am thinking that teams with good two spinners is going to go far. Teams which have just one spinner, and even if that spinner is like a T20, 4 overs, 24, has good control, but only gives away 24 runs kind of spinner, they are going to struggle big time, which means, let's say, Australia are going to struggle. I think Sri Lanka is going to struggle. Pakistan are going to struggle. Yeah, I mean, this is just my view, okay? And I think...
England, Adil Rashid is there, but even then, I mean...
England satisfy that criteria. Everybody is now saying that New Zealand are the team to watch out for. New Zealand are playing two matches in Chennai, I think. One against Bangladesh, one against Afghanistan. Okay, so they have to really bat well. and they have Santner.
Yeah, and they have 10 overs banked from him, basically. And yeah, they have Bolt, who's also...
And Santner bowled beautifully against England. I mean, I don't know if I saw that spell. Oh, man, he was really good against England in that. The way he was, it was almost like he has learned to be an Indian spinner now. He's bowling that well, I mean, in his conditions. Of course, Chennai is his home ground also, IPL home ground. So, yeah.
Yeah, so if they get out of that Chennai thing, they're safe. Otherwise, they are also in trouble. So, a lot of teams are in trouble now because of this spin problem. And that's
We said in the preview, no, Ashoka, that basically, I think England and Australia are not as good as they look on paper, you know, for different reasons. I think England have a problem with the age of their side and the form of their batting. And Australia, and mainly with the absence of Jofra Archer, you know, that's a real, real problem for them. And Australia have a problem in that, especially if it's spinning, it's not like a 320, 330 pitch. They have a problem in that. Actually, let me amend that. Australia, against most teams, they'll probably be okay on those types of pitches, because most teams will not have like Ashwin Jadeja and Kuldeep bowling 30 overs at them, you know. And
most teams will also not have a batsman of KL's class at number 5. Yeah.
I mean, no, that I think is possible. I mean, I think that's possible. But I think most teams, there will be parity between the bowling attacks in Australia versus most other teams in this World Cup. And then, you know, the power of Mitchell Marsh and David Warner and all these people will come to the fore, you know. And Maxwell is, you know, going to come good at some point. I mean, they all get 9 matches. I'd say he'll get like 2 or 3 scores, you know. And if he gets scores, then Australia will make a big, big total. So, you know, I think Australia have a problem in that they're sort of structurally, they have a problem with their spin. So against sort of the teams which are better equipped in the conditions, they have a disadvantage. This is why I think I have them as sort of my fifth team, which might sneak into the last 4. But
who are the first 4 apart from, who are the 3 apart from India?
India, New Zealand, South Africa, Bangladesh.
Hmm. Okay. Yeah. That seems about what, I mean, we also, that was pretty much the preview talk also. And it seems to have played out in the first week, first 10 days.
Well, it may change. I mean, you have a couple of 300, 320 pitches and, you know, it becomes a shootout and, you know, some English player has a good game and makes like 170 or something, and you know, it will suddenly look different. You know, and it's also that, you know, Bangladesh also, no, they are good, but I don't know. I'm not. They seem to sort of be about, you know, 10% less than other teams with the bat. So
yeah, 320 game, Bangladesh are in trouble. Yeah.
You know why? Lipton has suddenly run into a bad streak.
Yeah, I know. I think it's because he called that player back, man. It is bad karma.
It deserves it.
The karmic reasons.
No, but that's a good point. The fact that, you know, we're getting carried away with some of the early trends, but the point is it's going to be a long tournament and they're going to play around in different parts of the country. And you're going to have matches in which, also like even for these conditions, for whatever Ashoka is pointing out as handicaps for a lot of the teams, it's not like everyone is going to play India. And so you take India out, Bangladesh has the spin, but it doesn't have the same quality of fast bowling, right? So you can't, the advantage for India is it has all the bases covered for a wide variety of conditions. You know, this team can compete for a World Cup semifinal spot in England, Australia, India, West Indies, pretty much anywhere, which you can't say about many teams. But that's also their disadvantage. I mean, part of the reason why they cover all their bases is because, you know, they have such variety. But in some ways, they also play it safe, right?
Mahesh, all of India's ability to cover all their bases, no? It rests on one extremely fragile pivot, you know. And there's only one of those pivots. Yeah. If you don't have Hardik Pandya in that lineup, then all the balance goes off. Then they have to make compromises in the bowling and then they have to make compromises in the batting. Or else, they have to basically bite the bullet and say, we will play with only five bowlers. And this is it will be actually quite interesting, although I hope it doesn't happen, what they do if Pandya has to miss a game or two. And with this, I don't know, man, it's very, very likely, you know. I had dengue and now I just like me, Shubman Gill has also got dengue. So that's
so you're saying Shubman could be out for longer than expected.
Well, he's out for two games, definitely. I think it's a stretch. Like, even after he's recovered from the dengue, like the cycle is like 7 to 10 days. Even after he's recovered, it's not like he stopped getting... He recovered from dengue yesterday and he's fit to play a one-day match today, man. There has to be some conditioning, no? He has to get some strength back because it weakens you. It's the point is, it's not like an injury, no? It's not like something he did. He got bit by a mosquito. Like, what?
No, but the Hardik problem, I don't think that's such a big problem, man. If Hardik has a straightforward replacement in the team, no, in the squad, Shardul, he will come.
No, you think Shardul straightforward comes a replacement by bowling, anybody? Right? Who is Shardul Thakur not a straightforward replacement for in this team, according to you?
Nobody. If you
want him to play instead of Ashwin, you want him to play instead of Pandya.
No, not instead of Ashwin. Along with
Ashwin. He does.
Hey, let's not forget that if Hardik Pandya gets injured, we have a player with World Cup pedigree to replace him, Vijay Shankar. Okay, relax.
For a moment, I thought you were going to say we have Virat Kohli and Paul Seema.
He can.
My God. He'll go for like 17 runs in an over every time, man. They murder him. They outright slaughter him, like, with four fielders.
But at least it'll answer the plea of so many fans who are saying, oh, what happened to the good old batsman who could bowl a bit?
Yeah.
This is what would happen.
What happened to good old batsman who could bowl a bit is that, can we get someone to fill in a few overs, went out with the new power play.
Yeah, basically Australia are realizing the problem. No, the batsmen who could bowl a bit are coming and not bowling well enough. So
on the Hardik sort of point, right? I kind of agree with you that, you know, India could take the chance of just playing five bowlers. But again, even with that, they have the bases covered for them to, like, in a tournament where they're playing nine games, they still have enough buffer to go through to the semifinal. I mean, their depth is so strong that they are a favorite to go to the last four in pretty much any part of the world. But of course, that's also their, like, the Hardik question comes when it comes to like a one-off match. But that is with or without Hardik, that's going to be like a one-off match, right? If power play, you know, power hitting is a problem, or lack of depth in the tail is a problem, or the seam bowling all-rounder is a problem. Let's say three identified problems for India. I mean, that can come to bite you in any of the round-robin matches, except that you don't pay a very heavy price for it because they have enough depth to come back and win the rest of the matches, right? But in a one-off, it's a one-off. And, you know, that really is the only thing holding India back, right? If it's going to be like a best of five series or something, I think they have most bases covered.
What I found interesting was that they think clearly that KL is the better keeper compared to Ishan Kishan. Now, that I would not have guessed, because Ishan Kishan actually is a keeper. Like, he keeps for his domestic team also. So,
yeah, KL kept well though yesterday. I mean, it's still a long tournament and he could mess up.
I know you guys throw that, oh, he averages 35 in test cricket or whatever, you guys, your favorite stat at me whenever I point out that he's an astonishing player. This is the guy who has test hundreds as opener in six different countries. Yeah. And he's a middle order one day player who's like, you know, Jack Callis would dream of having his record, you know, and he keeps wickets.
No,
Rahul Dravid, he's the player everyone imagined Rahul Dravid was in the 2000s.
No, I doubt it.
No, first of all, nobody disagrees with the fact that he's a phenomenal batsman. The problem comes that despite being a phenomenal batsman...
You, what do you mean nobody? You?
No, hold on.
There is an archive of this podcast.
Yes, I'm telling you. I have never questioned his batting ability, just like I would never question Carl Hooper's batting ability. But the point is, what does the record say? And KL Rahul has this extraordinary ability to score when his...
Yeah, you slander him by calling him a neck on the line bully and whatnot.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He's an extraordinary
neck on the line bully.
Imagine playing under that pressure, the weight of being dropped, and always delivers. The only reason why I brought it up is that it was a reasonably mainstream discussion about KL Rahul's long rope in Test cricket. I mean, like, the at the end of the day,
Your presumption is that they're itching to drop him. Nobody's itching to drop him.
I've said the same about Rahane. I've said the same about KL Rahul. In a country like India, where you've got such depth of talent, if you play 30, 40 tests and you average below 40, it doesn't matter what the quality of bowling is, what era you bat in. I'm sorry, you know, like there's a big queue waiting behind you and you got to move on. That's all I'm saying. I like watching KL Rahul bat as much as you do.
Where is there a big queue waiting behind you here? I mean, it's not like there are five players better than KL Rahul.
Okay, when KL Rahul was first dropped, Rohit Sharma was not yet opening the batting. So it is because he went out of the queue that we have this great opener right now.
Oh, now I understand this whole resentment.
The crux of the matter has arrived now.
Your problem is that the most replaced player in the last 12, 15 years in Indian cricket, who you consider to be irreplaceable, who you are like the one human being in all of India and out of 1.5 billion people, you consider him irreplaceable. But the thing is, now Rohit Sharma is there. He's captain of India in all formats. Now he should retire your vendetta against all these other people.
No, but baggage is still there, no? He missed it. What about all the lost runs?
Let's put it this way. KL Rahul took Krishnamachari Srikanth's advice. He went to the temple, he prayed, he went to Kuke Subramanya, he went to all these temples, he prayed. And then he is now getting the just results for his prayers. So I think we should thank Chika for this.
I enjoyed yesterday. Yeah? It's like glorious. It's like, you know, Virat Kohli is making like his chancy runs, you know, as I was swishing, swinging, beach may he gets a nice half volley and
legs. You want this podcast to shut down or what? Virat Kohli is making chancy runs, it seems.
No. Did you listen to the commentary? Like
Virat Kohli, a few balls after he was dropped,
like not even much longer later. The commentator is saying, look at his eyes. You can see the determination in his eyes to chase this down. Like, he was just dropped.
I know what time pass here. I mean, and it's like, it's hilarious because it's like, you can see the guy here. I mean, he's struggling to come to terms with the pace of the pitch. And, you know, he's trying to work out what shots are on and what shots are not on. And like, I mean, come on, he's Virat Kohli. You see how many runs he's made. Of course he's going to hit a half volley on leg stump for four, man. Why don't you think he's going to hit it? It's not a great shot because he hits it. You know, but this used to happen with Tendulkar also. Tendulkar, like some fast bowler run with Paul Jarvis or some guy, you know, random guy. He's like run in really hard and like bowl on leg stump and like Tendulkar will flick it away to four. And people,
I was actually
like, this is the greatest shot since like shots were invented. You know,
but KD, you yourself have made the point. No, you yourself have made the point on a previous podcast, right? We are not watching what is happening. We are watching what we hope will happen.
Yeah. But the thing is, the really fun part was that you I shut down my I stopped tweeting. No, I mean, but I still have my Twitter list for my cricket. No? It was like full of all Virat Kohli match winning this, match winning that. You know, staying till the end, this that. You know, all the usual. You know, Ashoka's favorite people. You know, what is that? Some whoever those guys are, you know, the Johns and whatnot. They're
all going.
Yeah. And like all the other.
People. Hey, all the what other, are you saying? They are the greatest servants of the game.
Johns and Mufa will say this is Virat Kohli's greatest innings. Source Rev Sports or something. They will also have to add that.
And then the guy goes and gets out for 85. And then KL Rahul, who's like by any measurement, like played much more calmly, much more, you know, with much more assurance. Like his control percentage was like 89% compared to 84% for Kohli. I mean, he's timing the pants of everything. Like, you know, that last ball, that last shot he hit for six over extra cover was like, if Kohli had played that, no, they would have broken GIF, you know, they would have broken the internet with GIFs of that thing. The point is like, you know, we always get into this, you know, like you lose three wickets in 3 overs and suddenly it's like a crisis, you know. You lose three wickets in 15 overs and it's not a crisis. You know, if this had gone to like, okay, 80 for three in 15 overs or 70 for three in 15 overs, it would not be a crisis. But it's still only three wickets, no? And they still have to chase 200. So it doesn't matter when the wickets fall, as long as at some point they get a stand. You know, so...
Yeah, like Australia lost five wickets for some 15 runs or something, right, in the middle.
No, wait a minute. I don't understand this point. If you lose three wickets for 2 runs, you have to make 198 runs. If you lose three wickets for 80 runs, you have to make 120 runs. So there is a difference, no, when you lose those three wickets.
But
if you can go from 2 for 3 to 80 for 3... Eventually, it's the same thing, right? It's
just a matter of getting 200 runs in both cases, no?
No, I'm saying if you lose the third wicket at 80 or if you lose the third wicket at 2, you're saying there is no difference. I'm saying there is a difference.
Because the goal is still the same, no? The goal is still you have to get to 200 before getting bowled out.
Yeah, but you have to score a lot more runs in the case where your third wicket falls at the score 2, man. You have to score 78 more runs.
Yeah. But that's not necessarily a worse thing, no? You are lost.
No. The assumption is that there is diminishing batting ability as the order goes along, right? The assumption, which may be wrong.
But that's always true, no?
No, it's a fair assumption, but the point is, for you to get 200, how much of a difference does that make? Okay, sure. Yeah. If you want to score 400, it makes a difference.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because the run rate is not in the picture, no, in this game.
200 is basically a one partnership game. I think that's a good way to look at it, right? I mean, one good partnership game. But 300 is a two partnership game. I mean, unless you have like a giant partnership. Yeah, better. Yeah.
Yeah, unless you have like that, what England suffered.
With Conway and Ravindra.
Your guy. Yeah.
Rachin.
Your guy.
I mean, I'm just glad his dad didn't name him Sahul, man. Rachin sounds so much cooler than Sahul.
I mean, you can take all the Karnataka pride, but eventually, see, he was named after Sachin. What's the point?
If his second name was starting with S, do you think it would have named him Sahul?
Sahul. Could be. Yeah.
I just want to touch upon this about Kohli's innings, right? He played like what, 4 cool shots. One of them was nearly caught.
A drop. One of them, yeah.
One of them he got hit on the head.
This is like, you know what Ashoka's favorite storyline is, no? The Rohit people going around against the Kohli people. You know, this is our version of that. You know? Our
Rohit I'm trying my best now, to make
now,
it.
Our Rohit guy is now going to go through line by line in Kohli's innings. And
no, I think, out all the I think problems. It's now Kohli has reached a point beyond where people are talking about the, you know, his innings. It's basically he's become the aura, right? He's the cult. Like, I was even surprised. I mean, TV commentators, I know where they're coming from. I mean, it's very predictable that they go Kohli. But even a observer like Michael Atherton goes on to say that Kohli is arguably the greatest one-day player of all time. And I'm like, okay, that is a serious argument if you want to have it. Because, you know, I mean, well, he's great, but that doesn't just make him the greatest one-day player of all time. So I think it's easy to get caught up in the hype. I mean, he's great, no doubt about it. But yeah, it's also okay to observe how he played and that it was, you know, not one of his pristine ODI knocks.
People think that the story that they are telling themselves about the game and the way they are making sense of the game is the game. It's not, no? So it's not like at 2 for 3. For example, forget 2 for 3. Look at the 2 for 2 and look at the shot that Shreyas Iyer attempted. He's basically trying to smash him on the rise through the offside. You know, and most of the time he does that and he gets enough elevation and it flies over extra cover for 4. You know, that's why he averages 58 or 50 or whatever he averages in one day. Right? But the point is, they're not playing as though, they're not going into a shell and playing as though, like, you know, they're in trouble. You know, they're going to play as though they're chasing 200 and they need to chase 200. You know, and they're going to go for the runs because they have to basically, you know, there's an element of not letting someone like Josh Hazlewood bowl. You know, you have to, because if you let him bowl, and if you let him sort of find that line and length where he gets the ball to live to climb at you from a length, then he becomes very difficult to play. You know, so you have to sort of, you have to force him to at least think about, you know, firing in a leg stump Yorker every now and then. You know, which is why they take a chance. You know, and the, to be fair to them, the field is set to invite them to take that chance. So it's not like they are, I mean, at 20 for 3, Kohli played that shot. It's not like, it was not a bad shot, no? And it wouldn't have been a bad shot if he'd gotten caught. But the point is, on another day, it would have been 20 for 4. And then what? People would have said what? All the usual stuff. You know, they would have, you would have had the usual, you know, Anushka Sharma this, Anushka Sharma that, you know. But this is why I think you have to sort of, it's not a story. It's a game. It's not a movie. This is a basic distinction which, you know, really helps to sort of calm things down when you're watching. You know, it's like every ball, there's a certain probability that the batter will get out. There's a certain probability that the ball will go for 4. That means that every now and then, one of those things is going to happen.
Yeah, but then your the problem is also memory, no? See, there is a certain cricketing memory that kicks in after that time. Like, because you have seen 20 for 4 before.
Memory is my contention.
It's just an individual story.
That's a narrative memory. That's not really cricket.
That's a good point. So I was, when the match was happening, when Kohli was dropped especially, my mind immediately went back to the 1996 India-West Indies game.
Courtney Brown.
Yeah, exactly. You know, some
Ambrose. Yeah.
Relatively small score. India chasing. I think India gets 2 wickets down early. And I was thinking Sachin playing that and Courtney Brown dropping that catch. Yeah, sure.
It's a top-edged hook, no?
It's,
something like
it's amazing how many people thought of that, because I thought of that, then I got a message from my friend Hari who thought of that and said that is actually a bad omen, maybe India will go out in the semi because of that.
But in our mind, sure, there is certain similarities over there, but it's also the whole story, right? It's about Sachin and Kohli. If it was not Kohli, or if that was not Sachin, we wouldn't have made this connection, right? Is that the most iconic batsman of that generation versus the most iconic batsman of this generation? In a similar situation where India are like two or three wickets down, like we are connecting all these things like we do with the story. Like it's like MGR to Rajini to whatever, Vijay or whatever. Sorry, KD, you didn't get the reference. But...
no,
MGR to Rajini to Vijay to Dhoni.
But you guys are complaining about a feature as an exception. This is how the mind works always, man. Mind makes stories of most of the things. Suddenly, when you tune into cricket, we'll have to keep facts in mind. We have to treat this as a game. It's not going to happen, dude.
No, but that's not true, Ashoka. That's not true. When you're working, you don't treat everything in life as a story, no? I mean, people do become doctors and they do doctory and they become lawyers and they do lawyering and they become engineers and they do sums. You know, everything is not a story, you know. This is a problem of entertainment, not of people, you know, of thinking about that the entertainment has to be a certain way, you know. And it's also a question of, you know, association, you know. It's like when it's your team, then you start thinking of it in terms of, you know, these types of, you know, ups and downs, you know. It's like Kurt Vonnegut has that famous... I mean, actually not Kurt Vonnegut. In literature, there's this idea that there are basically six story arcs which cover pretty much every story ever told and every story that we tell ourselves. And this has to do with our cognitive makeup, et cetera, et cetera. That's another episode. But that's what we do. That we don't do that, no, when in most useful things that we do. We don't do that most of the time.
Okay, so why don't you give us, why don't you tell us that when Virat Kohli was dropped at that particular point of time, 24-3, how should the mind approach this?
The point is that you're not, it's not 24-4 because they are playing badly. No, it's 24-4 because the chips are falling adversely for them. You know, they are the same skilled player every match they play. They play equally well every match they play. Sometimes that on the rise shot goes for four and sometimes it goes to extra cover's hand. You know, that doesn't mean that when it goes to extra cover's hand, it's a bad shot. And when it goes to extra cover boundary, it's a good shot. It doesn't work like that, no? You know, in a game, there's a series of encounters whose outcome is not determined by one of the participants. That's why it's an encounter, no? The outcome emerges from the encounter. So neither entity controls the encounter. That's the whole point. Even among the data crowd, there's a whole set of people who, you know, presume this contingency and therefore they sort of, you know, they model the game as a contingent thing. You know, that, you know, oh, this is a setup. So if you want to look at what happens on the fourth ball, where the first three balls have been moving away from the right-hander, then, you know, you cannot model the fourth ball without reference to the first three. But you can, no? Because that happens so many times. And once in a while, you see someone get out. That doesn't really mean that on that particular time, it was done especially well. Or in that particular time, it was done and other times, it has not really been attempted.
Actually, that happened in this match, no? When Kuldeep was held back when Maxwell was playing, they were saying Rohit is a captain who believes in matchups and whatever. Eventually, they said, okay, Kuldeep has to be brought back because you can't delay his quota of overs for too long. He comes and they expected Maxwell to take Kuldeep on and he gets bowled, right? That's like genius captaincy.
Yeah, I think it's also like the attempt to reduce cricket to a very simple game when actually, you know, with instinct and the way a batter approaches a ball, the split second decisions that happen often, you know, instinctively because of years of their conditioning and practice, And that is very hard to explain. So instead you say, okay, the previous three balls were outswingers, this was an in-swinger, so he was out. And that might make sense,
but it's probabilistic. No, the point is,
yeah,
just because something is 10% probability and something is 12% probability doesn't mean 12% is not 1%. Superior. Yeah, I mean, 1% is superior to 0.5%, but it's still like superior only by that margin.
Yeah, and you know, the thing is that batting is an act of faith. No, at some point in the flight of the delivery, the batsman makes a commitment that this is where I think the ball will arrive, and make sure that his bat is over there. Now, the ball is moving in the air off the pitch, depending on how much it's moving. That is an act of faith to a greater or a lesser extent. Or rather, you know, that's a riskier bet when the ball is moving a lot, and it's a less risky bet when the ball is not moving as much. But it's a bet. It's an act of faith. It's a judgment. The batter doesn't really watch the ball onto his bat, or rather, if the batter does that, then the batter is not playing a scoring shot, you know. So a scoring shot is an act of faith. You know, it is a risk.
Yeah, I think
even the leg stump half volley which Kohli hits to the mid-wicket boundary or the square leg boundary is a risk, you know, because he is betting that the ball is not going to straighten. He is betting that, you know, if the ball bounces a little bit more and it's not going to hit the slice of his bat and, you know, go to mid-wicket's hands. You know, and from time to time, that does happen, right? With Rahul Dravid, used to play that flick shot on the leg side so many times. And from time to time, he did get caught at mid-wicket. No?
They used to set the fielder there for him. Yeah.
So, that is the game. That is what is beyond Rahul Dravid's control, and that is the point. The whole reason it's a game is that nobody can achieve certainty. Neither the bowler nor the batter can ever achieve certainty. Now, it's the design of the game is quite elegant, and it's not a 50-50 battle, right? So the bowler gets a wicket once every 30 balls or 40 balls or 50 balls, depending on the format, and the batter gets a boundary once every 16 balls or 8 balls, depending on the format. Right? But it's not like the bowler is getting a wicket every other ball and the batter is getting a 4 every other ball. That would be a very different game. You know, actually, that would be a game that would be less amenable to these narratives. That would turn it to make it a game like baseball, basically.
Yeah.
But it's still a game, no? Because you allow the batter to basically leave the ball. You know, you allow the batter to ignore a ball and not score from it. So that's the design of the game.
First of all, what I understood from this whole discussion is that you three guys don't understand cricket very deeply. That is okay, that not many people do it. But there is help. You can understand cricket at a deeper level, which is... go to Ashwin's YouTube channel, watch the last 5 episodes that he has done with Harsha Bogle. They in depth, they are explaining what cricket is to you guys. If you listen to those Kutty stories, you will understand what cricket exactly is. Not this game, probability, analytics and all that. This and all is like for if you are presenting some white paper to some college PhD degree, you can do all this.
Okay. This podcast has now gone off the rails, where we are now talking about matters far beyond what we intended to get into in the beginning. Thank you for joining. Thank you, Mahesh, Ashoka, Karthikeya. We will join you. We will be hosting podcasts on a weekly basis during the World Cup. Plenty to talk about. Focus on India games, but also so much other things that are going on, the teams that are developing. And as we said, everything, you know, it's all early days yet. So in another week or 10 days, who knows, this could well become a batters World Cup with 350 plus scores being posted. This could, you know, you could occasionally have a seamer friendly pitch where somebody takes some fast bowler takes 5 wickets. So yeah, exciting to look forward to. And as usual, 81allout.com is our website. At 81allout is our Twitter handle. And I'll also link the books we have republished. War Minus the Shooting by Mike Marcusi comes highly recommended. This was a book about the 1996 World Cup, and no better time for you to learn about that World Cup and read that book than now. with another World Cup happening in India now. I mean, that happened across India, Pakistan and Sri Lanka, of course. Marvelous book. There's also two other books that we republished, Cricket Beyond the Bazaar by Mike Coward and The Summer Game by Gideon Hay. I'll link all that. And yeah, thanks for listening. We'll see you in about a week's time. Goodbye.
India have won the series. They're going to get back for two. India at home. Lords goes wild.